enter into part three of what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks out of Joshua. God wants us to be strong. God wants us to be courageous. We see in Joshua 1, verse 9, "Have I not commanded you," God says, "have I not commanded you, be strong, of good courage, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you encourage us today by your word. And Lord, I pray that we hear your heart, that we hear your words, Lord, and apply it to our life, apply it to our heart, but Lord, also to follow you. That, Lord, our strength and our courage comes from you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. There's something to be said about expectations. We tend to react based on what we expect. So when we expect something, our actions tend to gravitate toward what we expect. Sometimes it's bad news. "Well, I knew that was going to happen to me." Has anybody ever said that? Sometimes it's bad news. So our actions kind of gravitate because that's what we expect. Other times we know good news is coming and we gravitate toward that. I remember growing up in school, I kind of gravitated toward not wanting that report card so that I could kind of divert that getting in my mom's hands. So we even as adults in life, we kind of brace ourselves for what to expect. Well, in God, we can always expect good. We can always expect reward. We can always expect encouragement. We can always expect fruit. God is never fruitless. God is never discouraging. God is correcting. Thank God he corrects us, right? Sometimes I need correcting. If Crystal were here, she would say a loud amen. I can hear her right now. Sometimes we need correcting. We pick up in the story today where Joshua was about to lead the people into the promised land. They were real close, very close. And as they were approaching this place, they were right in the proximity of where they were to cross over. And that's what I want us to look at today. This is a very, very important part of Joshua leading the people into the promised land. The people, after all these years of fumbling around and of being scared, being fearful, God brought them to the place now to where they were just about there. What kept them expecting? There was an expectation in their heart to, once they were motivated, to continue motivated. They were still human like we are. They were still flesh and blood. They still had the same thoughts, I believe, that we have today. But they were expecting. What kept them expecting? God was, we see the word as we look today, God was setting them up for a miracle. God was causing some things around them to set them up for the miracle. Wouldn't it be great if God just said, "Okay, here's your miracle, bam, that's it." But there always seems to be a process to the miracle. There always seems to be a road of process before the experience of the blessing. It's always been that way. I talked last week that Jesus hung on the cross. That road to Jesus hanging on the cross was brutal. Jesus died, went to the tomb, rose the third day, and now we're here experiencing the blessing of salvation in our lives because of the path that Jesus took. So there was a path to the blessing that we now experience that we call salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. God loves to do miracles. God doesn't have a quota. He doesn't say, "Okay, I've got three that I'm going to spread out worldwide on Monday. And once those three are tapped out, I'm done." No, God loves doing miracles, and there's an endless supply of miracles. And so God doesn't reserve. The Bible says that he withholds no good thing from his children. He said no good thing. That doesn't mean that we get it yesterday. That doesn't mean that we get it 60 seconds after we pray for it. There's a process. God is doing something more in our lives, in the process to our blessing, to our promise, to the fulfillment of what God wants to do in our life. And that process sometimes is where we lose sight of who God is. That process sometimes we get frustrated because it isn't happening quick enough, or it isn't happening in the way that I told God I wanted it to happen. And so we as humans get our eyes off of God because it's different And God, don't you know that my way is better than your way? We don't say that, but sometimes that's the impression we give God. I had a close friend one time that said that. You know his initials. So Joshua 3:1 says this. Joshua rose early in the morning. Now I love that. It just so happens that it was written here. I love to get up early in the morning. I love to get up while it's still dark and see the sun rise. Bailey, when she's home with the grandchildren at home, she knows I'm out back early in the morning. And when she wakes up, she knows to come find G-Pa. G-Pa's somewhere, and she wants to see the sunrise with G-Pa. Joshua rose early in the morning. There's something about getting up early. There's something about an excitement. The grandchildren love Christmas Day. Why? Because they're up at 2 a.m. Do they get up every day at 2 a.m.? Absolutely not. Matter of fact, getting them out of the bed at 8 o'clock for school is nearly impossible. But so happens on Christmas Day somehow they get up at 2 a.m. without any help. Why? Because there's an excitement. There's an expectation. And so Joshua rose early in the morning, the Bible says. There were some plans of the day. Joshua knew. He felt it in his bones. He didn't have the details, but he knew that he knew. And they set out from Acacia Grove and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there. I don't think there was a Holiday Inn there. I believe they probably set up camp. They had some tents that they got from Academy and Dick's Sporting Goods, and they set up camp, the Bible says. They lodged before, if you will, underline that word before. They lodged there before they crossed over. Now, why would they lodge there? Why would they be at the edge now, the proximity of crossing over to the Promised Land, and they're lodging there? Joshua gave them instruction, this is where we're going to camp out. This is where we're going to sit. Now, if that were us, the first thing that we would say, one word, why? Why have we got to camp out here when we're so close? And so this is very important to see. This is what I want to talk about today. They stayed there before they crossed over. And see, God was taking them through an obstacle before he took them to the blessing. Why do we have to go through obstacles? Can't life be easy? Anybody ever say that? Why do things have to be so hard? Why do I have to things to be so difficult? Because God is wanting to encourage us. Believe it or not, there's encouragement through that because there's growth in that. These trees that we see around us, they've all sustained very high winds a few times over the last few years. And how did they do that? Because they were strengthened. Their root systems were grounded. And it took a lot. Some of them are leaning because the wind pushed them over and they kept standing. So God is building in us that same strength. Be strong, Joshua said. Be strong. There's a strength that comes only through the obstacle before the blessing. God promised them the Promised Land, but there was something else just as important as the miracle itself. There was something else that God was doing that he saw fit. He was setting them up, that God knew there was something else needed to happen before acquiring the blessing. There's something in our lives today. There's a reason why we're here. There's a reason why we're breathing. There's a reason why God is speaking his word to us today. We will never get to the point in this life. Now, this is encouraging. We'll never get to the point in this life that we have learned everything, that we know everything, that we're right next to God, and we have no more problems. We won't get there. We will in heaven, but in the meantime, this life is an obstacle. God gives us blessings along the way. He's got a word full of promises that we should read every single day and keep those in mind. I talked about a couple of weeks ago. Keep those promises in mind so that it pushes us forward, so that it keeps us encouraged because we know that God is on our side. But there's something more happening in us each day through this obstacle that we call life that God wants to do. Yes, the miracle has been promised. Yes, we've got a book full of promises. Yes, we've got God on our side. Yes, God will never leave us nor forsake us, but he's doing something else. There's a process in us that God wants to bring through even the difficult, the challenges, and through the layovers as these people were experiencing. So today is important. Sometimes we get so focused on, oh, I can't wait till tomorrow. You know what's going to happen tomorrow? one of our grandbabies says, "Gee-pa, you know what? I got to tell you an exciting thing." She said, "I got to tell you an exciting thing." So it's something coming up. She's excited. So we get excited about things coming up in life, and that's okay. But we need to appreciate today as well. There's something exciting going on today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. He doesn't say tomorrow is the day of salvation, or next week, or April 19th is the day of salvation. You put it on your calendar. No, he said today is the day. Now is that time. Several years ago, we were building a house. And if you've ever built a house, then you know the fun. If you haven't, build one day so that you can also experience the fun of building a house. And so we bought the lot, and as soon as we bought the lot and had it cleared, I was ready to move in. Where's the door? I'm ready to move in. The contractor said, "Well, we got the land cleared. Now we got to do this, 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 and this." And so some year and a half later, we're moving in. Well, now that was no fun. Couldn't we cut to the chase, put the house up, I'm ready to move in? No. As much as I wanted to move in, as much as we closed on that lot and we said this is where the house will be, I had to wait out the process for the contractor to build that house before I could open the door and walk in. And so everything in life requires a process. And so today matters. If today were not here, we wouldn't be facing tomorrow. So each and every day, each and every process, each and every link that God provides in us, there's an important thing for us to learn. There's something important for us to look at. 2 Corinthians 6:2, as I just quoted, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." The blessing is coming. The fruition to your promise is coming. God isn't making it. It's not requiring a chip, so it's on back order. No, God's already got it made, and it's got your name on it. It's your blessing. It's already there. So the blessing is promised. Now, what do we do? Well, the first thing that these children of Israel, these people of Israel, had to learn was to wait on God. They had to wait on God. Why is waiting one of the most difficult things that we will ever do? Especially in society when we can get most anything we want right now. We don't have to wait on a biscuit to cook. We can go to Chick-fil-A tomorrow morning and get a sausage biscuit and it's ready for us. We can put it in the microwave. We can warm it up. We can make a phone call. Everything is instantaneous. But there's a process to the blessing that God has for us. We've got to wait on God. We've got to wait on God. God can do anything, anytime, but there's a process. I was speaking with someone the other day, and I said, even the process of God putting everything in existence, he put everything here in 6 days and rested on the seventh. Couldn't he have put everything together in a split second, a fraction of a second? Yes, he could have. But even the creation, even God Almighty that put everything around us, below the ground, above the ground, in the sky, the galaxies, the stars, the moon, everything that we see and even don't see, God put it in place, and he did it in 6 days. Why did he take 6 days? There was a process. God is a God of order. God is a God of method. Now, we can never figure that out, because just as soon as we try to and think we have it, he does it differently. So God can't be put in a box, but God does things in order. And he has his perfect timing in that order. Some things we know. It's going to take X number of days to grow potatoes. X number of days to grow strawberries. X number of days, next number of years to grow a pine tree so that we can mow it down and get grow another one. So there, we figure some things out that there's a process to some things. In 9 months, we'll see a little baby born. So there's a timing. But even in the process, we wait on God's timing. Remember David? David killed Goliath. Well, he didn't come into this world with stones in his hands, did he? There was a process. David was strong. The Bible says that he even killed a bear and a lion with his bare hands. So surely he would be ready. Even after that, there was a process. Just when we think we're ready, God says, "Hold on, wait a little longer. Hold on, I felt like when I was called to minister and to preach at 15 years old, I figured the next day I'd get a phone call. Come preach. Now, I was scared silly. But I'm 55 years old. We've been here 12 years. And so 43 years of age, I began doing what I felt God called me to do at age 15. Why couldn't that have happened when I was 15 and a half? There was a process. God was doing something in Mike that needed to be done so at age 43 he could come to St. Simon's and do as he's called me to do. So there's a process. Even when we think we're ready, David thought he was ready. He was ready. He was like a bull in a pen. He was ready to get out. But God was doing more in David's life. And those obstacles David had to go through before he experienced God's miracle. And so God brought Joshua and all these people to the neighborhood of Jordan River. It was the Jordan River Boat Club. They were there close by. The bridge was there. And here they are stuck. Then Joshua rose early in verse 1 and 2 of Joshua 3. They set out from Acacia Grove and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. They were camping there 3 days. Okay, Joshua, now don't you know why we're here? We came to cross over. We came to experience the promise that God gave us. And you mean to tell me that we're stuck here 3 days? You know I've only got a week of vacation. So that leaves time now. So we could think of all these things why we needed to speed up the process. And on top of it all, look at this, on top of it all in Joshua 3:15, the latter part of that verse, it's probably not on the overhead, but just make a note. For the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. The Jordan was overflowing. It's at high tide. It had one of those, what do they call it, king tides? Jordan River had a king tide. They said, experts say that it was an additional about 1 mile wider than usual, the water that came through there. And so they set up camp, and lo and behold, here comes the water. Here comes that king tide, and they're stuck there 3 days. Did God lose track of time? Did he not realize that somebody else had ordered the king tide when he told them to stay 3 days? He had it all together. What was he trying to say? We don't know, but he said it. God is trying to do some things that we're not sure, but we've got to wait on God. God is doing something. God does a lot behind the scenes that we will never know about until we get to heaven. Hopefully we can, they're going to have tons of food there. So y'all hold on. We'll have tons of food in heaven. So we'll be sitting around the table and he's going to say, you know what? You remember that day that you were going across the causeway and you looked down to do something? You remember that? I saved your life, because right there was the time that the devil had planted to take you out, but I saved your life. So God will begin to tell us some things that we don't even know about, how he saved us, how he saved our family, how he touched when we were praying for somebody, how their life changed. This past week alone, we've had miracles in this church. People would call and say, pray for me, and miracles have happened one after another all through this week, this past week, through prayer. And we don't know the impact of that. So God is doing things behind the scenes that we will never see this side of eternity. But God is working. God is working. And so this river was raging. Water was everywhere. I could hear somebody say, what else can go wrong? What else can go wrong? Has anybody ever said that? What else? Okay, this has happened, this has happened, this has happened, this has happened. All these things are, what else can go wrong? Listen, we're to wait on God. Just when we think God has left us, he's right there. He's right there. He's aware of what's going on and could change it like that. But Isaiah 40:31 says this, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So it's my waiting on God that's going to renew the strength. It doesn't say that God's renewing my strength. He's pouring his strength in me, but I've got to wait on God so that I can renew my strength. It's my waiting that opens the door for God's strength. Isn't that awesome? But if I don't wait, if I get ahead of God, if I say, no, God, I know the plan. I'm going to go for it. Did you know if those people had done that, they would have drowned? They'd have went out there because they were early. They weren't in God's timing. So we can take things in our own hand and take it and run with it and be against God's will and do more harm than what we could experience good in God's blessings, only because we didn't wait on God. God is working. We've got to trust God that he is working. And so waiting on God strengthens our faith, and it also strengthens our expectations. God, I expect you're going to do it. I don't know how. The tide is rising. My tent is wet. My bacon is droopy. All these things, God knows. And part of this waiting was opportunity for them to increase their faith. I'm waiting. They're there 3 days. I mean, they probably didn't bring any games. They didn't have anything because they hadn't planned on staying 3 days maybe. But it was an opportunity for God to speak to them. Working. I'm working. Keep your faith. Keep your expectation for the impossible. Did you know that God does the impossible every single day? God does the impossible way beyond what we could ever imagine or think. And so what they were about to experience, they could never do on their own. What they were just about to experience and see God do, they could never, ever have done it on his own. Can you imagine what they were thinking? How we're going to get across the Jordan? Not only that, but we've got another mile of water now because of the king tide. We've got to get past that. Then we get to the river. Then we've got to get past that. So they realized there is no way we can do this. There's no way. But their expectation was for God to do it. God is big. God is speaking to us today. God is speaking to you today and letting you know that God is a big God. And he's going to do the impossible. We've got to trust him that he's going to do what he said he would do. So in verse 2 of Joshua 3, so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, here comes the instruction, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it of about 2,000 cubits, is about 1,000 yards by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. Watch this, because it's going to show you the way that you must go. For you have not passed this way before. You've never been the way I'm taking you. You've never seen the map. You've never seen where I'm taking you and how I'm doing this. So you must watch this so you know which way to go because you've never passed this way before. That's God giving them instruction. Now that they've come through these days. So we're to watch for God. Did you know the Ark of the Covenant is a sign of God's presence? So even today, what are we supposed to watch for? We're supposed to watch for and follow God's presence. How do we do that? Well, we keep attuned to him. We keep our attention. We keep our focus on him. And so they were following the presence of God as they were looking for the Ark of the Covenant to come through, staying back 1,000 yards, watching where it went, where the presence of God went, they also went. That's exactly what we're to do today. How do I know which way to go? Follow God's presence. How do you follow God's presence? Stay in tune with him. Read his word. Pray. Listen. And so secondly, consecrate our heart. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Consecrate our heart to God. What is to consecrate our heart to God? It's the separation from anything that would contaminate our relationship with God. To consecrate is to really set ourselves aside for the purpose that we were intended for. What were you intended for? The Bible says that we were put here to praise God. That means we work. We can praise God in our work. We can play golf. We can praise God. Some people can praise God when they play golf. Others pray a lot. We raise families. We do all the things that we do in life. We do that as we praise God. So we consecrate our heart to fulfill the purpose in why we were here. And it means there are some things sometimes we have to separate from that would contaminate our relationship with God. It's a separation. And you have an idea of what those things may be. If you feel like you're being pulled away from God or separated from God, those are the things that you need to limit into your life. And sometimes totally cut off. Joshua 3:5 says, Joshua said to the people, this is what he said, sanctify, which is another word for consecrate, yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. So they're to consecrate themselves before they're to enter in the blessing. Isn't that interesting? Whenever I get a phone call and people are in dire need for prayer, please pray for me. I've got to have a move of God. Do you know what happens? There's a consecration. There's a prayer. There's an all-out cry for God to help. And it seems that many times needs like that drives us to that point of praying more than what we would normally pray on another day. But it's that prayer before the answer is what brings about the answer. Without that consecration, without that cry to God, without that separation between those things that contaminate our relationship with God, without doing that by going through the same process we went through Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll not see the answer. That answer could be postponed. I could actually eliminate God's answer in my life if I don't consecrate my life to Him. There are plans for God's life. There are plans that God has for my life that I can actually stop because I don't consecrate my life to Him. Just because God has plans for me doesn't mean they're going to happen. God's plans for me are there for me as a result of me consecrating and following God. Then He says, the blessings will follow. You say, well, why can't the blessings come before? We actually got the blessing before because Jesus died on the cross. But it's then our responsibility to accept and to receive. We see that there's a responsibility for us to accept even salvation. We're given the gift of salvation, but we've got to receive it by confessing with our mouth. Amen. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. So there's a consecration that I must do. As we sanctify, consecrate our life, Joshua says, the Lord tomorrow will do wonders. So there's a blessing coming after you consecrate yourself. Isn't that interesting? After. So we're to rid ourselves of anything that hinders our focus on God. What's a distraction in your life? It could be a good thing, but it just needs to be reprioritized. If I let my work take priority over God, that's a bad thing. My relationship with God has got to take first and foremost. And then I believe my responsibility to my wife and family. The job is important, but it's not at the top three. And so that's part of getting things in order in our life that God says that we've got to prioritize. That's a consecrating of ourselves to God, and God allows us to follow Him, and He'll show us what to do. Many years ago, Crystal always kept a pair of scissors in the kitchen. So I would go in there. If I needed to open a box, I'd grab the scissors and I'd open the box. Sometimes the box would have a staple, no problem. The scissors would cut right through the staple. If something needed to be done, I'd get those scissors. They were handy. They were right there. I got them. And in some reason, Crystal said one day, she said, "What have you done to my scissors?" I said, "Nothing." She said, "No, you've done something, because you see right there, there's a notch just taken out of it." I said, "Well, I used them to open a box." She said, "You did more than that." And so now she's got her pair of scissors, and I've got my pair of scissors. I like my scissors. So she let me know that I was using her scissors in the way that they weren't intended to use them, that it was dulling her scissors, that it was eating them up, that it was destroying her scissors. Why? Because they were intended, she says, they were intended for another purpose. I thought what I was doing was just fine. And my scissors might not be as pretty as hers, but they work. My point is, sometimes we use what God has intended for a good thing in our life, and we use it for something that it wasn't intended for. And it dulls it. It loses its effectiveness. It loses its power. It loses its ability. Because we're using it for something that God did not intend for us to use it for. God has intended you and me, our life, to be used for something greater. And we're not to settle for second or third. We're not to settle for worry and anxiety and all those things. We're to settle for what God has got planned for us. And how can we do that? We consecrate ourselves to God. God, lead me in the ways that you would have me go. Show me your ways that I may follow you in my life. The same thing happened to Moses in Exodus 19, verses 10 and 11. It says, the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. So they had to do it 2 days. Consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. Now, that's not the band. That's not third day band. That was the third day. Third day coming up, God had something planned. Let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day, the Lord will come upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all people. So the Lord had plans for them, and he told Moses, the way I look at this, those people were twice as hard-headed. They needed 2 days to consecrate. But God said, consecrate yourselves, and then on the third day I will come to them. See, so God wants to show us things. He wants to do a miracle in our life, and he's causing us to get our focus on him. Well, why don't I hear from God? Why don't I see God moving in my life? This is no slam against anyone, but we all must daily consecrate our lives to God. And it keeps us out of a lot of trouble. Because left to our own bored self and our own intuitions and our own tendencies, we'll get in trouble. But God says, keep your focus on me, and I'll keep the path straight. Romans 12, verse 2 says, don't be conformed to this world. Why? Because it's not good. It's not being used for the intent that you were created to be used for. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the perfect life right there. But what does it boil down to? I can't conform to the world, and I've got to renew my mind. Well, why can't God just renew my mind? No, he wants us to do that. We've got a free will. We've got a free will. So we can decide what to do and what not to do. We can decide what actions to take and what actions not. We can choose what to say and what not to say. We talked about that last week. So we're not to be conformed. Don't think like the world. Don't be short-tempered. You know, the first thing we think of coming off that causeway, somebody cuts us off. It's not praise the Lord. It's what are you doing? That's our human tendency is to be angry. But God says, don't be conformed. Renew our mind. Renew our mind, and it's my choice to get up every day and say, God, renew my mind. So when I get in that car, I know I'm going to meet somebody that is not nice. But Lord, I thank you that you're going to cause me to be nice anyway. He says here that what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God will happen as we renew our mind in what? In this. This is the renewal map right there. So it's up to me to renew my mind. And so it's up to me to create an environment that God can live in. See, God's not going to live anywhere because he knows he's not accepted everywhere. God isn't a boiler in a china shop and saying, I'm going to come in here and clean you up whether you like it or not. God is a perfect gentleman. He created us so that we can renew our mind, and we can choose to do that. If we choose not to, then we're not creating an environment for God to live in. So I can dilute God's power just like I took those scissors and used them for another purpose. I can dilute God's power in my life by not consecrating myself to God. I can dilute his presence. I can postpone his miracles in my life simply by not consecrating myself to God. But Pastor Mike, you don't understand. What about this? What about this? And all these things, consecrate yourself to God. God is aware of every detail. Matter of fact, God knows more about the details than we know. Concerning my own life, God knows more than I know. So God has huge plans for us. Number three, finally, confront the obstacle. This is huge. Confront the obstacle. So these people on the third day, they were to get up and to proceed, follow the presence of God, follow the Ark of the Covenant. They were to proceed toward the water, toward this body of water. Now, mind you, it had not separated. Nothing had changed. It was raging. The king tide was there. Everything was going on. The loudness. Have you ever been up in the mountains when a raging river is coming through there? How loud that is. You can't hear yourself think, much less sometimes talk. It's deafening. It's so loud. And so this body of water rushing through there, they're approaching this body of water as though they're about to cross over. They were expecting something to happen as they were approaching this. Now, they had all this gear and they had a lot of stuff. They were moving. They're moving to the promised land. They were going forward. But had they not confronted their obstacle, they would have never seen God do the miracle. There's a confrontation of your obstacle that must take place. Sometimes we want to run away from the obstacle. I'll go back this way, away from the obstacle, and maybe it'll calm down. We're running away from also God's blessing, because God's blessing is on the other side of the obstacle. And so in Joshua 3, verses 14 to 17, it says this. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water. For the Jordan, this is where we see that the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest. What happened? The waters in verse 16 says this, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still. The water that was raging, the high tide moving, the loudness, the Bible says, it stood still. At the very moment that their feet touched the edge of that water, when it touched, the water stopped. It didn't stop before. When they were packing up camp, it was raging. The obstacle was there. As they moved towards it, the obstacle was there. It wasn't until when they touched the water with their feet, the Bible says, the water stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeraton, so that the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant and the Lord stood firm on muddy ground. Oh, it was dry ground. The water just went up. And the Bible says they crossed over on dry ground. Now, this is where all this water, this body of water was sitting, and they crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. We're not to be fearful when we confront our obstacle. God is not building in us fear. God is building in us faith. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. We're not to be fearful. But he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Don't run the other way. It's time for some of you to confront your obstacle. Some of you are in that 3-day holding period. That's great. Wait on God. Consecrate yourself to God. But then there are some of you that it's time to face the obstacle. We want to look away. We want to go the other way. But God said your miracle is in you confronting the obstacle. When their feet touched, the water stopped. When their feet touched, the obstacle was gone. The water piled up on both sides, and dry ground, didn't say muddy ground, didn't say soft ground, didn't say slush, didn't say quicksand, it said dry ground. Don't ever say a miracle is not possible. We serve a God that anything is possible. We serve a God that he says all things are possible through him. And where does our strength come from? Our strength comes from the Lord. It's time to confront the obstacle. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. See, it's not you confronting it anyway. It's God in you that's confronting. It's God in you that's leading you. It's the same God in you that's leading you that's going to cause the things to move out of the way. It's not the power that's given to Mike Murray. It's the power that's given to God, to Jesus Christ. And as long as he's in my life, as long as I'm consecrated to him, as long as I'm waiting on him, when he says move, it's time to move. When he says to confront your obstacle, he means confront your obstacle. It says in Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. It's by God's spirit. It's not what I've got, it's what he's got. It's not who I am, it's who he is. From the very beginning of time, and he has never failed. He has fulfilled every miracle. Everything he has done. Did you know that they could never have imagined that the Jordan River was going to part? I don't know what they thought. They approached it because they expected God to do something, but they had no idea what God was going to do. And he parted the waters where they walked across on dry land. God wants to do the same thing in your life. God wants to bring some things about, but we've got to trust God. We've got to be strong, we've got to be courageous, and we've got to expect God to do the impossible. God is trustworthy. God will not turn his back on you. God is with you. God is for you. God is not against you. He's called us to be strong, to be courageous. He has promised miracles. We've got a Bible full, we've got a book full of miracles that we need to think about and pray about and remind ourselves of every single day. What are you facing today? What kind of obstacle are you facing today? God is bigger than an obstacle. God is bigger than the Jordan River. God is bigger than anything that you're facing today, whether it's in your health, in your finances, in your relationships, your future. You don't know what to do in decisions. God will bring clarity. He will bring answers. He will move mountains, the Bible says. God's not short of moving mountains. God can do the impossible. He put the mountains there in the first place. He just took a scoop of dirt and just dropped it right there and said, there's a mountain right there. God can move them. He owns it all. He's a big God. Every sunrise has a process before we see it. And some of you today are distracted and are concerned because you don't see the process. You don't see the wheels turning. Let me assure you today that God is working. Let me assure you today that God is putting things in place. I don't know if it'll happen today or tomorrow. And it's not my business to know. It's my business to tell you to trust God. The same thing I've got to do in my life, trust God. We've got to trust God. We've got to see God move. And just because it doesn't happen in our timing or our way, God is doing. God is moving. God is bringing things together. How close are you to your miracle? Are you within 3 days? Don't give up. Don't give up. You're closer to your miracle than what you know. God is moving. God is preparing you. God is setting you up for your miracle. Just the same way he did these people. He set them up. He prepared them. He brought them to the place. God didn't postpone the blessing. The people, like we sometimes, we postpone the blessing. God's blessing is for you. It's got your name on it. Coming up, Crawford. I want us to stand together this morning. I want us to pray. We're also going to receive communion this morning. I'm going to ask the elders to come up and get ready. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your encouragement. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, even when we mess up, even when we jump ahead.